Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dayaya Sarva Bhuteshu Santushtya Yena Kenava Sarvendriyo Pashantya Cha Tushyatyasu Janardana Dayaya Sarva Bhuteshu Santushtya Yena Kenava Sarvendriyo Pashanyacha Tushyatyasu Janardana Dayaya Sarva Bhuteshu Santushtya Yena Kenava Sarvendriyo Pashantya Cha Tushyatya Sujanardana.
Thank you.
Yaya.
By showing mercy.
Sadava Bhuteshu.
To all living entities.
Santushtya.
By being satisfied.
Yena Kena Va.
Somehow or other.
Sarva Indriya.
All the senses.
Upashantya.
By controlling.
Cha.
Also.
Tushyati.
Become satisfied.
Ashu.
Very soon.
Janardana.
The Lord of all living entities. Translation. By showing mercy to all living entities, being satisfied somehow or other, and controlling the senses from sense enjoyment, one can very quickly satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. These are some of the ways in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be satisfied by the devotee. The first item is Dayaya, Sarvabhuteshu, showing mercy to all conditioned souls. The best way to show mercy is to spread Krishna consciousness. The entire world is suffering for want of this knowledge. People should know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original cause of everything. Knowing this, everyone should directly engage in his devotional service. Those who are actually learned, advanced in spiritual understanding, should preach Krishna consciousness all over the world so that people may take to it and make their lives successful. The word sarva-bhuteshu is significant because it applies not only to human beings, but to all the living entities appearing in the 8,400,000 species of life. The devotees can do good, but not only to humanity, but to all living entities as well. Everyone can benefit spiritually by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna is sounded, even the trees, animals, and insects benefit. Thus, when one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra loudly, he actually shows mercy to all living entities. To spread the Krishna consciousness movement throughout the world, the devotee should be satisfied in all conditions. Narayana parasarave nakutaschana bhibhyati svarga pavarga narakeshva narakeshu api tulyarta darshina. Bhagavatam 6:17-28. It does not matter to the pure devotee if he has to go to hell to preach. The Supreme Lord lives in the heart of a hog. Although the Lord is in Vaikuntha, even while preaching in hell, a pure devotee remains a pure devotee by his constant association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To attain this state, one has to control his senses. The senses are automatically controlled when one's mind is engaged in the service of the Lord. So Narad Muni is now giving all the variety of ways by which the living entity, or the Pachetas here, can become Krishna conscious, how they can see Krishna in everything. So the idea is that the body-minded word should be engaged, and in all situations one should be able to connect to the Lord. So here then, in the practical element, that we're showing kindness to all living entities, this mercy, is this first item he gives. So Prabhupada's pointing out here that means the best thing is to give Krishna consciousness. So if you look, if you're dealing with a living entity, you can deal with the body, deal with the mind, the intelligence, or the actual soul. So in doing these activities, doing something for the benefit of the soul, that lasts eternally. Well, anything you do for anything else, the body, then whatever you do today, actually tomorrow it's gone. You have to do it again. The mind might last a little longer, the intelligence, the senses, you've given something that's the shortest. So we're talking about some very, very temporary results, not really much substance here. Right? The substance is very minimal. But unfortunately, it's seen as the great work for mankind, while Krishna consciousness is not. So if someone's preaching, that's the best thing you can do. Others who are not preaching, let them feed, let them give out mosquito nets and, you know, bowls and whatever else is to be done. But for the devotees, the preaching is the main thing. By doing that, everyone gets eternal benefit. Then, being satisfied. Then, by being satisfied, whatever situation one's in, one is comfortable to perform one's activities of Krishna consciousness. Because there is no ideal or perfect situation in the world. It just doesn't exist. We have the idea in our mind how there'll be this nice perfection. Because we have this idea the material world is eternal and is full of happiness. So therefore we can find that situation of eternal happiness within the material world, but it doesn't exist. Just as anything you do for the body is temporary, any situation that is arranged for the body is also temporary. It's just, they go together, right? So it's contradictory to think that there'll be an eternal situation of happiness within the material world when our day-to-day experience or moment-to-moment experience is exactly the opposite. You can't reconcile them, right? So being satisfied means is that the senses are being controlled. And the senses being controlled means one's thinking of Krishna, engaging in Krishna's service. That's control of the senses. It doesn't mean not engaging the senses. It just means the senses are engaged in something of value. Right, of something eternal. So by this position, by taking up the position of preaching, of engaging the senses in Krishna's service and being satisfied in whatever situation you're in, then Krishna becomes pleased. Right? Because then it's to do that means it's not about ourselves. I mean, you can't really actually do this on the material platform. It sounds like it's material pious activities, right? Being merciful to others, being satisfied, controlling the senses. And yes, the other yogis and renunciates and pious persons, they make an effort to obtain these qualities because these are standard qualities that every Shastra recommends. But the difference is that these actually can't be obtained perfectly on the material platform. You'll see someone may be very, very well situated and very nice, very good qualities. But at some point, some difficulty comes up. That's because it's still on the material platform. Material only gets so good. There is no perfect material platform. It just doesn't exist. It's an idea. You know, just like a mirage doesn't exist. We may think, oh no, it's a great mirage, and you know, we'll build a resort there, we'll make plenty of money. You know, it's all happening, right? But it doesn't, it can't. So in the same way, the material world, for it to actually give any benefit, it actually can't. The only benefit it can give is to bring one close to Krishna consciousness, right? It brings you close by bringing you to situations that are favorable. But just favorable means you still have to use it. When I say it's favorable for Krishna consciousness, means it can be used in Krishna consciousness. It doesn't mean it is Krishna consciousness. Right? So these items on their own, showing mercy to all living entities, you can only do that if you see them as the individual spirit souls. And you can only consistently do that if you always see them in that way. Right? As transcendental. You can only be satisfied if you're situated in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there's only so much you can tolerate, right? Just on the material platform. Because otherwise, what's the benefit? Like, I'm tolerating the situation, but why? Why should I do it? An endeavor is only made if there's a goal. No one does anything without a goal. So why would I do it? Right? Unless, okay, I'll come to the transcendental platform or something like that. But it's still motivated by oneself. So as long as you're motivated that way, it works. This moment you're not, it doesn't work. But Krishna consciousness, it has a basis all the time. Because the relationship between the living entity and Krishna is eternal. It's always there. There's no situation where it doesn't function. And senses all means our contact with the world is through the senses. So sense gratification means contacting the world with the senses without Krishna in consideration. And Krishna consciousness, or control of the senses, means the contact of the senses with the external world is through Krishna consciousness. So we can see as only the devotee can actually have these qualities. So then it's not just that you're a nice guy and that's why God will be pleased. To be a nice guy consistently, you have to be God conscious. That's what pleases Krishna. And these are the mediums to express it. Right? Does that make sense? Means one has affection for somebody, but depending upon who they are and their position, then it's shown in various ways. Right? Depending on the relationship, depending on the situation, the expression may be different. But the principle is the same. So the principle of Krishna consciousness is there. And Krishna wants to appreciate it when it's manifest in this way. Because this is in relation to God and the living entities. Right? All these things are there. You're showing mercy to the living entities. You're satisfied somehow or another. Controlling the senses. You have to be Krishna conscious to do that. And in doing that, then you're in the environment created by God and interacting with other living entities. Right? So in the spiritual world, then you're going to have an environment created by the Lord. You're going to have the living entities and you're going to have the Lord. Right? So that's always going to be there. Right? The Lord is there. He expands as the devotees, and then you need a place to perform that interaction. So the point is being able to appreciate God and the devotees in the place, that's what pleases the Lord. Right? So whether you're doing that in the spiritual world, the material world, it's the same thing. So here it just looks like piety. When I say in the spiritual world, you appreciate the devotees, you're interacting with the Lord, you're functioning within the Dham according to the manifestation, appreciate it, of course. But then we just reflect that into the material world, so you're satisfied and say, no, but it's not nice, what about this, I can only be Krishna conscious and this and that, what about the other living, yeah, but if they're nice, what if they're not nice, what about engaging the senses, we have to be practical, Prabhu, I have senses, I have to be, does that make sense? All it is a reflection, you don't expect when you look in the mirror, it's a reflection of your head, you're going to see something different, right, it's not you look in the mirror, you expect to see a pumpkin or something. Right? You expect to see exactly the same thing. So why wouldn't it be the same? This is not the reality. And that's something far away. That's the reality. This is the reflection. So it's the same thing. Just as we've accepted, yes, in the spiritual world, I'll be worshiping Krishna in the association of devotees, in the holy Dham, and everything is nice. It's the material world is exactly the same thing. It's just an inferior, the reflection's always inferior. So, whatever situation here, I engage it in Krishna's service. And I interact with the other living entities who are the Lord's eternal parts and parcels. And in this way, then, Krishna is pleased. It becomes very, very nice, very practical. Like that. Any questions on this? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, please go.
Hare Krishna. If we accept our situation and work within our boundaries, as that's Krishna's blessing, and make nice arrangements with different devotees, I also understand that you have to be given service. So is it from there that we should endeavor to serve the temple? Or is it enough just serving in our circle of what Krishna's given us and our duties.
The idea is that that circle, what is, just as we're given service, then we're given the environment. But we consider the environment to be, our area of free will, right? So that circle is way bigger than we maybe are considering it. You know, because it's like, okay, we have the house, we have the family, we have the maintenance of that, the interactions there, but then we have bigger than that. We have our friends, that social scene, then we have the international scene and going flying around and doing different things like that. You understand? So it's quite big. It's not just this little, just sitting in the house and like that. And the temple, then the point is the nature is there, the field is there. What do you want to be interested in? Just like you have a house, okay, so you can say one has a house, okay? But what do you want to do with the house? You have kids, what do you want to do with the kids? You have friends, what do you want to do with the friends? You understand? There we're taking into consideration the free will. So why not in the devotional service? That wouldn't be the same thing. It's not, when we're given service, then we'll do some. If we're not given service, then we won't do anything. It's a matter of, well, what do you want to do, right? But at the same time, you have to be qualified, right? You have a nature. You have your house. You can do what you want in your house. You can't do what you want in someone else's house. So what service is that, the area where you have a nature to deal that you can do? In areas you don't. Does that make sense? So one considers that whole element, that there's the aspect of desire, how would you like to be engaged? But at the same time, is if one is engaging, like Narad Muni is mentioning to the Pachetas, whatever is that field of activity, then all aspects become connected. So then it becomes very easy to connect everything else. You know what I'm saying? If you can connect everything within your home and family and other elements, you can also nicely connect anything connected with the temple. Right? Because the indirect is the more difficult, in that you have to think about it more. Does that make sense?
To see their surroundings and maybe draw them in?
I didn't catch that.
I was thinking that it was the duty of management to see maybe the natures.
It is the duty of management, but it's also the duty of the individual to be inspired that the management is also inspired. This idea that we'll just sit here, and only if the management, does everything how I really expect them to, then I can be engaged in service. The point is management means it sees to that. But here in this case, it means any position of authority. So parents means it's their duty to see the nature of the children, engage them, friends, community, the spiritual master, the temple, any position. But at the same time, as it is a relationship, so it's reciprocal. It means you can engage somebody who wants to be engaged. You can't engage, just like the example, you can wake up someone who wants to be woken up, but you can't wake up someone who's pretending to be asleep. Right? So this, that same kind of thing is that it goes both ways. If we're looking at it from management, yes, it's our business to try to understand the natures, see that everybody's engaged. But as an individual, it's our business to, with whatever environment we're in, to be inspired and try to be engaged. Is that okay? Something else. No? Yes.
What mentality is it that the social work is considered more important than the devotional service, which is a long time beneficial or more beneficial? activity is not considered very important.
Mundane mentality. Because see, you're dealing with the modes of nature within the material world. So if you think you're the body, then taking care of the body is the most important. If you think a little bit beyond the body, then the mentality, the peaceful or safe environment, you know. It's just like, let's say we're giving out mosquito nets to the kids, right? And the mosquitoes won't bite, and we feel very good about that. Okay, so we've done something for the body, but then what about the safe environment? How do we know after we've given out the mosquito nets, then the next day, then, you know, the local, rebels aren't going to come along, steal all the mosquito nets, and take them back to their camp? But it's completely out of our sphere of interest, right? You know what I'm saying? So the next one is that aspect. Then at the same time as, so, but is there an explanation of who we are, why we're here? Right? Those kind of things. So that's even more a need. Just like we'll say education is a need for the children. Everyone has the right to education. But how do you define education? Just understanding of the body or beyond? You know what I'm saying? So the point is because people need to be fed and all that, that's done, but that's not the major. The major thing is being educated and educated in the science of God consciousness, because that gives eternal benefit. Otherwise, other educations, then nowadays it's just for occupation. You go back some time, you know, not even too much time, the idea of education was you'd be a member of the community, right? You had a broad understanding, cultural, all these different kind of things, refined, eclectic aspects, so that you could move in society and be an inspired member of society, right? And then at the same time, you had a job to maintain your position in society. But in recent times, that's completely switched to, are you just getting educated to get a job, and that's all? And as long as you can get a job, get money, then somehow or another everything's perfect, right? So the point is how are we defining education here? How are we defining these benefits that we're giving? So if there's anything other than God consciousness, know it that it's mundane. Maybe nice mundane, right? But it doesn't matter, it's still mundane. The whole point is if you're not benefiting the soul, you're not really benefiting anybody, right? Because why do people consider it good on the mundane platform? Because if you're taking care of others, then there's the possibility I'll be taken care of if I'm in a bad situation. So it's actually self-centered. And by doing this, then you feel good because I've done pious activities, I've done good work. And so by good work, I'll get benefited. I'll get nice situations also. So it's only considerations of karma, right? Because even if we take it to the platform of jnana, the jnanis would consider it that if you teach them that they're the soul, not the body, not about Krishna consciousness, then that would be beneficial. Because otherwise, you know, you just rot in the material world. You just go birth after birth after birth after birth. So, you know, that's not really beneficial that you've just taken care on that level. But then the problem is they don't understand the complete nature of the soul, so then they don't give God consciousness. Does that make sense? So the thing is the mundaners may appreciate these things, but the thing is the mundaners also have a brain. And there's this thing called language, and within language there's these elements called vocabulary. And you can use them very nicely to explain to them about the higher levels, about that there's stages, levels of charity. And so everybody takes care of charity according to their position, right? Like, let us say, in society in general, who do you expect to be giving in charity, seriously? The rich people or the poor people? The poor people should be giving in charity, and the rich people not, or the rich people are giving in charity, right? Why do the rich people give in charity? Because they have the facilities, they have the capacity. Right? They have the nature. So that's what they do. If the poor people give in charity, then that's considered very good. but it's not expected. But a rich person, they don't give in charity, then people, something's wrong with them. Like when you move in actually the higher levels of society, you have to go to these charity benefits. You have to be there. You have to give money. If you're not, you're not part of their scene. It means you'll just be not dealt with by them. You're just outside their circle. Because they're rich, they give in charity. You want to be part of their circle, you give in charity. You understand? So, naturally taking the next step, since we're not necessarily known as being rich, we're known as having spiritual knowledge. Right? And so, therefore, that's what we have to offer. Right? Okay, the poor person doesn't have money, but he could go down to the shelter and, let's say, mop the floors or distribute the food and all that. And people would say he's doing a good job. He's doing his best. The rich person should give the money to fund the thing. Right? But we can give spiritual knowledge. So everybody's giving their part. So if we understand that we're dealing with the soul here, you understand? Then smart people understand this. So it's just a matter of that. But to think that spiritual is not important means to not consider material spiritual, that would just be standard mundane. To consider that spiritual is not important, that feeding people is actually more important, that's actually becomes atheistic. Does that make sense? That's just the mechanics of what we're dealing with here. Is that okay? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So regarding the inspiration in different environments, that we always need to be inspired, sometimes it doesn't happen. How can we be inspired all the time in different environments?
We can be inspired in whatever environment we're in by seeing the environment according to the previous point that Narad Muni makes. In other words, as he's going, he's building one point on the next. So in the previous, then, he's pointing out that because Krishna's entered everything, he is everything. He is both the immediate and the remote cause. That means technically there's nothing in the material world that's not connected to him. So if one's contemplating this, then whatever situation you're in, you can see Krishna in that situation. And seeing him in that situation, then you can be inspired. Does that make sense? Right? So it's not just a matter of sentiment. See, is how does inspiration come? We just take it that it just happens. You know, sometimes you're inspired, sometimes you're not. Sometimes it's happening, sometimes it's not. Does that make sense? Right. So we're just kind of leaving it to it's happening. So we're just depending upon something else to make it happen for us. But according to the technical understanding is that when you contemplate the field, you know, the knowledge of the field, then when you see what's the proper attitude, like you're in the situation, what's the attitude I should have in this situation? What are the, and then in this situation, what are the various ways that could be engaged in the Lord's service? Right? So therefore, technically, what is this situation I'm in? What are the elements of it? And then how would those be practically engaged? Right? Does that make sense? So that's purely intellectual. Right? So if I do that, then seeing all the things that are there, possibilities, then I become inspired. So inspiration is actually based on the intellectual application. Yes. What happens if you're a fool? I mean, just meaning that everybody else in the material world's not, and you're the only one that is, or something like that. I mean, whether you're a fool amongst fools, you have no intellectual. What if you had no intellectual capacity? Well, if you had no intellectual capacity, you would have walked out of the room with those last guys. But you're sitting here and asking questions. So that means you have intellectual capacity, so don't worry about it. You'll be fine. Does that make sense? The point is how much intellect is there? Means intellectual capacity means how much of the environment you can see and you see something to do with it, right? Even the simplest person gleans something from the environment and sees something that can be done with it, right? That may be so many more things, right? But you can always see something. That's why everybody's involved. That's why everybody's active. Does that make sense? Right. So that means this process is open to everybody. It's just because we haven't set volume here. We've simply seen that what would be the proper attitude, what are the results you could get from the field, so therefore what practically is the elements of the field and how they're engaged. Those four elements. Everybody can see that to their capacity. So therefore anybody can be inspired. Right? Does that make sense? Somebody who's more intellectual or more sophisticated may see more and it may be more complex. But that's what they're working with. So then they become more inspired. Right? Just like this. Let's say you have the little kid on his tricycle, right? And he's riding down the sidewalk really fast. Right? In his mind, he's really going fast. Right? You know, and then you have the yuppie guy, he's driving down the road in his Porsche, and he feels he's going really fast, right? And it's confirmed, because the policeman pulls him over. He doesn't pull the kid over. But the point is the perception is how big is your capacity, that's how much you, that's where you work. It's the same. Does that make sense? Yeah. Anything else? So. No? Okay. Seems short classes are becoming a habit now. Gruntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.